and Richard Caldicott in Post-Mortem Shock by R.G. Wingfield. Post-Mortem Shock. Look, no one. Another nightmare.
It wasn't a nightmare. He was in the room. I woke up. He was in the room.
Well, this has got to stop, Gwen. It's been a night this week. No one can get in the house. It's locked, bolted, and barred.
Roger!
There was a door banging downstairs.
It's him. He's in the house.
You stay here.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to take a look. There were £5,000 in the safe.
Call the police.
No. Not the police. Probably nothing anyway. I'll make a shotgun.
Please, be careful.
Yes.
Inspector Bowers.
He's on that break in at Good Time Jewelers, Sarge.
Oh, go out and get him. Looks like we've got a murder on our hands. John Mansfield, the club owner, has been shot by an intruder.
Ah, oh, that damned alarm. Has anyone sent for the key holder?
Well, that should be him now, sir.
Who is Detective Inspector Bowers?
That's me, sir. We are Mr. Meekin, the owner.
Yes, that's right. Oh, this down the street. Oh, what a mess. What a mess.
Do you reckon you can switch that alarm off, sir? It's getting on our nerves.
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you, sir. I was beginning to feel like that bloke in the belfry in the Nine Tailors. It seems you're right, Mr. Meekin.
May I look?
Yes, we've dusted it for fingerprints, but there's nothing to see, I'm afraid.
Oh, my God. They've taken everything.
What was in there?
With my stock, jewellery, watches, expensive watches.
Value?
£17,000 or £18,000.
Worth their while, then. If you didn't spend a bit less of your money on stuff and a lot more on estate. Hmm? I could open this one with a blunt tin opener.
But there's a burglar alarm.
The burglar alarm didn't go off, sir.
The what?
At least it didn't until our chaps arrived. And then we couldn't stop it. But the thieves were well away by then. If our beat constable hadn't spotted the open door, we'd all be blissfully unaware of your expensive loss until morning.
It's a first-class alarm.
And it was novelled by a first-class crook. Someone who had to know a lot about it. Which gives us a lead.
A lead? You know who did it?
Knowing who did it is a darn sight easier than proving. If it's who I think it is, the loot was sold to a fence before the job was pulled. And our man will have nothing on him but an innocent expression. £18,000, sir. Where's your insurance company? Just in case I'm unlucky enough to have shares in them.
Joseph Smith and General.
Oh, then we can expect their Mr. Gregson breathing down our necks tomorrow. Oh, well, let me have a copy of the list of stolen goods, would you?
Yes, certainly.
There's nothing more we can do here. Ah, no. Anyone send for the police?
Inspector?
Sorry. We're shot.
Control, won't you urgently, sir? There's been a killing.
Detective Inspector Bowers has just arrived, Sarge.
Bowers? Why, don't they think I'm capable of handling it?
Constable Clark. Your wife had a baby yet?
Next week, they reckon, sir. Wednesday.
I don't know how they can pin it down to the exact date. Always sounds slightly indecent to me.
Detective Sergeant Fox.
I didn't know you were here.
When they couldn't get hold of you, so they sent me. I was under the impression it was my case.
I see. Dr. Bin?
He's on his way.
The photographer's finished?
Yes, sir. But I wouldn't move the body, sir, until the doctor's seen him.
Thank you, Sarge. That's a good tip. I'll remember that.
I'll be with Mrs. Mansfield in the lounge, Inspector. There's not really enough room for three in here.
It's a proper fire eater there, Constable.
He's very keen, sir.
Yes, we must make allowances. There's a high pull rank on him, and the way he's going, he'll soon be able to pull rank on me. All right, so what have we got here?
That's for householder, sir. His name is John Mansfield. Owns a couple of gaming clubs in Fenley. And he's got part shares with Simon Blundell in a chain of betting shops.
Blundell, eh? Now, there's a real right villain. I don't approve of a company he keeps. Okay.
What happened? They were woken up by sounds of an intruder. Mansfield went to investigate, taking that shotgun. He fired at something. There's pellets all over the place. No blood, though. So we don't know if he scored a hit. Anyway, his wife heard the shot and came running in. She found him on the floor, dead.
Any sign of the intruder?
No, sir, but we've got cars out looking.
Pajama jacket soaked in blood. Buckshot. And the intruder must have had a gun as well.
But the wife only heard one shot. It could have been two shots fired simultaneously.
Yes. Safe.
Check the print.
Yes, sir. But if good times the jewelers had had a safe like this, they wouldn't have been suffering from stock shortage. What is it?
Papers and about £5,000 in cash. We got Mrs. Mansfield to open it. Nothing's been taken, as far as she can tell.
And no print.
Nothing alien on the safe, sir, but there's a beautiful set on the desktop.
Ah. Oh, so there is. Well, if they're on fire, we can get this case tidied up in no time. No wonder Sergeant Fox didn't want to give it up. Hello, Doctor.
Inspector, what have you got for me this time?
A surgeon. His name's John Mansfield.
And I haven't moved him, Doc. I promise.
I was going to drag him out into the passage where the light is better, but my sergeant warned me against him.
That'd be Sergeant Fox, would it? He glowered at me as I came in. Take all your photos.
Yes.
Then let's get this pajama jacket off him.
Will you be long, Doctor?
Yes.
Right, then I'll go and have a word with Mrs. Mansfield.
You anymore, Inspector. I heard the shot.
Just one shot?
Yes. I ran in. He was on the floor. Blood all over his chest.
The noise you heard. What was it?
Like a door slamming and then like something breaking or being knocked over.
And when you ran into the study, was there any sign of this intruder?
No.
Then what did you do?
Well, I could see that he was dead. I suppose you stayed away.
I see. Well, thank you, Mrs. Mansfield. I think that's about all for the moment. Yes?
Can I have a word, sir?
Of course. Excuse me, Mrs. Mansfield. Yes, Thornton?
Has she told you about this intruder, sir?
Yeah.
Do you believe her?
Shouldn't I?
Well, I've been over the house from top to bottom, and I can't see how anyone could have got in. And even if he did get in, how he could have got out again. Mansfield's got this place so burglar-proof, you wouldn't believe it. Grilled over all windows and openings, double security locks and bolts on all doors.
He keeps sounds like £5,000 in his safe, but don't blame him.
Anyway, sir, no one could have got in or out without leaving a trace. And you can take it from me, there's no trace. In addition to which, when our chaps arrived in answer to her call, they had to wait for Mrs. Mansfield to unbolt and unlock the front door to let them in.
So, we're faced with two alternatives. Either there was an intruder, in which case he's still in the house.
He isn't, sir, I checked.
Or Mrs. Mansfield isn't telling the truth.
Precisely, sir.
Have you taken this up with her?
Oh, no, sir. It's your case.
I'm just beginning to wish it wasn't. Let's talk to her again. You ask the questions this time. She might respond better to the abrasive touch.
You feel after answering a few more questions, Mrs. Mansfield?
Yes.
We're finding ourselves in a spot of difficulty. This place is locked up tight. We can't see how an intruder, if there was one, got in.
Oh?
You say you heard someone.
Someone or something.
I don't think I follow you, Mrs. Mansfield.
You wouldn't understand.
I understand your husband's been shot.
There's something terribly wrong about this house, Sergeant.
Wrong?
Things have happened. My name called, and no one's there. Scratchings, whisperings, shuffling footsteps. Closed doors that suddenly open and slam.
Are you suggesting the house is haunted, Mrs. Mansfield?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just telling you what has happened. Perhaps you can explain it. I can't. But if I have to stay here alone, I'm terrified. And then lately, there have been the dreams.
What sort of dreams?
The same dream. Night after night. A man in the room. I can't see his face. But I know there's something awful about it. And he moves from the shadows. But I can see. He's only got half a face.
How do you mean?
One side is normal, but the other is just a bloody pulp. I wake up shaking and screaming.
Well, we all have dreams, Mrs. Mansfield, though sometimes a bit pleasanter than that one.
Last week I saw him when I wasn't dreaming. I had to go to the study. It was a warm night, but the study was cold, freezing cold. And I saw him. I must have fainted. John ran in. The study was empty.
Did your husband ever see or hear anything?
I don't know. He said he didn't. But I don't know. He'd never admit it. But these last few nights, he's kept the shotgun loaded.
This is all very interesting, Mrs. Mansfield, but I don't think we need concern ourselves with ghosts. A ghost might frighten someone to death, but they don't fire guns. We find your husband shot, the house tightly locked, and you're the only other person inside.
You think I killed him?
I don't really see how I can avoid thinking that, Mrs. Mansfield. Do you?
Yes?
Excuse me, Inspector. The doctor's finished. He'd like a word with you.
Right. Would you object if I came along too?
Of course not.
We won't be long, Mrs. Mansfield. Perhaps you'll think over what I've said.
I've cleaned up the wound on his chest and I've got most of the pellets out.
Here, yes, sir.
I think he'll find over fire from his own gun.
What do you mean?
He did not, but these wounds are only superficial. They're not what killed him. My guess is that he fired the gun as he fell.
The pellets hit that metal filing cabinet and ricocheted back at him, getting him in the chest.
Then if he wasn't shot,
how did he die?
A heart attack.
A heart attack? You mean from natural causes?
I'll have to do a post-mortem, but at this moment I can find no other cause for his death. In my opinion, he died from a heart attack brought on by a shock.
A shock?
Yes. Turn the head so you can see the expression on his face.
Good God.
He looks terrified.
As if he'd been frightened to death.
Sir, I'm absolved from all suspicion.
There's nothing for us to be suspicious about, Mrs. Mansfield. I'm sorry I jumped to the wrong conclusion. I understand your husband had a recent history of heart trouble.
Yes. What will happen now?
There'll be a post-mortem, but if the heart attack is confirmed, that should more or less end the matter. I don't think we'll have to bother with a coroner's inquest, but I'll let you know tomorrow.
Thank you.
You shouldn't be here on your own, Mrs. Mansfield. Is there anyone we can send for?
I'll be all right, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Then we'll show ourselves up. Good night, Mrs. Mansfield.
Good night.
Oh, you might as well take the case over now, Sergeant.
Thank you very much, sir.
Very good, madam. We'll send someone round to have a word with her.
Morning, Sergeant.
Morning, sir.
Oh, no need to stare so pointedly at the clock. I know I'm late. I was out in the case with Fireball Fox last night. Just a bed look down 5 o'clock this morning. Have I beaten into it?
Detective Sergeant Fox was in at 9 o'clock, as usual.
9 o'clock? Oh, he can have my job. But I can't keep up the pace. Where is he now?
He's in number 3 interview room with Biffy Gordon.
Biffy Gordon? Oh, why the devil wasn't I told? He's my number 1 suspect for that Good Times Jewelers job last night.
Got nothing to say. Oh, my solicitor.
Look, Lippy, we've got you red-handed. Your solicitor can't help you this time.
Oh, hello, sir.
Morning, Sergeant.
What have we here?
Lippy Gordon, sir. Picked up at the corner of Glenford Market this morning offering cut price watches for sale. He had 23 in his overcoat pocket and another 6 quartz crystal digital jobs strapped to his wrist.
6?
3 on each arm. There's the stuff there. Seems to be part of the loot taken from Good Times last night.
You realise this is my case, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. But as you weren't here...
All right, all right. Send someone round to search his room.
I did that over half an hour ago, sir.
I see.
I was questioning him, but I suppose you'll want to take over.
If you don't think it's too presumptuous. Hello, Lippy.
Inspector.
Treating you all right, Lippy?
I want my solicitor.
Oh, what do you want to bother with him for? He'd only blow it up out of all proportion. We've picked you up with 29 watches. All you've got to do is to show us 29 receipts, and we're left with 8 on our basis. What do you say?
I want my solicitor.
29 watches, Lippy. All telling me I'm late. And you know why I'm late? Because I was up half the night consulting the owner of Good Times, the jeweler. Someone had bypassed his alarm system and opened up his lovely safe. What expert job, beautifully carried out. The work of a master craftsman. Someone of the caliber of Lippy Gordon. Ah. I see the old chest pop up with pride. Did you see that, Sergeant?
I did, sir.
Now, I said to myself, if it's Lippy, we don't stand a chance. I know that loot would have been disposed of to a fence. So what went wrong, Lippy? What went wrong?
I want to see my solicitor.
Yes, I know.
Shall I have a go, sir?
Let me flounder on a little while longer. How do these watches work?
You press that button and the dial lights up.
Yeah, so it does. Blimey, I am late, aren't I? Now, how much was he offering these for?
£10 each.
£10? Oh, Lippy, please prove your innocence and I'll buy one of them off you. I'll buy 2. I could play with them all day.
We haven't got all day, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant. Ah, this is form sheet. The judge will go to town and you this time, Lippy. Why not cooperate with us and make things easier?
I want to see my solicitor.
Yes?
Oh, sorry, sir. I wanted Sergeant Fox.
Any luck?
In his shed. Hidden behind some bags of cement.
Now there's a windfall for the insurance company. Anything to say, Lippy? All right, charge him, Sergeant, and then let him phone his solicitor. I'll be in my office.
Inspector, can I speak to you on your own?
Yes, Lippy. Wait, aren't you comfortable? Thank you, Sergeant.
Very good, sir.
It looks good kill, eh, Lippy? He's properly upset in this time. Is it good?
So. Suppose I was to turn Queen's evidence on another matter. Could you get the judge to go easy with me?
Now, these things can be arranged, Lippy. What did you have in mind?
You're investigating a murder, aren't you?
Are we?
John Mansfield. Come on, I know he's dead. I knew who killed him. I saw it, haven't
I? You saw it?
Have we got a deal? If not, I might as well keep my mouth shut.
I'll do what I can. Now, come on, come.
That job last night. Yes, I did it. But you should never have caught me with this stuff. It was all arranged that a fence should take it immediately afterwards. All arranged weeks ago.
Go on.
Well, we all know who the fence is around here, don't we?
Simon Blundell.
We had a deal. We agreed a price and the money was going to be waiting.
You were talking about the loot from Good Times.
Yes. If Blundell hadn't let me down last night, I wouldn't be here today. I did the job and took the loot round to his house at the range, expecting him to be waiting with the money. I hammer and hammer at his door. No answer. And I was just flying with that.
What time would it be?
Pushing towards 3 o'clock in the morning. I hung about for a bit. I wondered where he could have got to. Then I had my brainwave.
Quay Mansfield.
John Mansfield's what?
Well, who else?
Well, Mr. Mansfield's away. Simon Blundell has been known to oblige by keeping his side of the bed warm for it.
Simon Blundell and Mansfield's wife.
Didn't you know?
No, I didn't. But go on.
So I drove over to Mansfield's place and I see the light in one of the ground floor windows.
I'm nosy.
Curtains were drawn, but not quite together.
I could see inside. It was Mansfield's study. And who do you think was sitting at the desk?
Simon Blundell.
Right. I tapped on the window to attract his attention. But at that moment, the door opens, and in comes Mansfield with a gun. Then there's a shot. Down goes Mansfield, blood all over him, like a stuck pig.
And what did you do?
What do you think I did? 15,000 quid's worth of hot jewelry in my gun. Got the hell out of there. Then sat up all night sweating. 1,000 quid worth of loot and a penny in my pocket. Took a chance and tried to flog some of the watches on the market. Who knows the rest?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do, Lippy. Okay, I'll see what I can do about bringing certain mitigating circumstances to the judge's attention.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Gordon has kindly agreed to make a full statement about the simplicity of the robbery at Good Times last night, obliging by taking his gun.
Right, sir.
And he will also make a statement about what he saw in Mr. John Mansfield's study last night. Front box?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have another word with Mrs. Gwen Mansfield, the heartbroken widow. I'll tell you about it in the car.
Please, sit down.
Thank you. We just popped in to say we've had the results of the post-mortem. Haven't we, Josh?
Yes. It confirms that your husband died as a result of a heart attack. Once again, my apologies for the misunderstanding.
Then I can go ahead with the funeral arrangement.
Well, there's just a couple of little loose ends. I'm sure you can clear them up.
What loose ends?
Do you know a man called, Simon Blundell?
What has he got to do with it?
Probably nothing, but his name has been mentioned.
We had a friendship, but it finished over a month ago.
It was more than a friendship, wasn't it, Mrs. Mansfield? Weren't you lovers?
It's all in the past.
Weren't you lovers?
Yes, we were lovers. My husband found out. And that was the end of it. I gave Simon up. That was over a month ago. I haven't seen or heard from him since. Does that satisfy your curiosity?
Are you sure there was no one in the house last night apart from you and your husband?
Quite sure.
We have a witness who says Blundell was here.
Then your witness is wrong. My husband wouldn't let Simon anywhere near the house.
Our witness says that Blundell was with your husband when he had his alleged heart attack.
Nonsense.
Who let him out of the house and locked up after him? There was only you or your husband, and your husband was dead.
As he wasn't here, no one locked up after him.
All right, Mrs. Mansfield, we won't push the point. Our witness must have been mistaken.
I haven't finished yet, sir.
Yes, you have, Sergeant. You take Mrs. Mansfield's statement while I have a little nose around the house. No objection, I hope, Mrs. Mansfield.
Would it matter if I had?
Thank you. There might be some little thing we've missed that makes everything crystal clear. Excuse me.
Oh, you're frightened the life out of me.
Sorry, I'm Detective Inspector Bart. Don't be alarmed. I never raped anyone before dinner.
Well, I'm cooking it as fast as I can. I'm Lily Preston. I'll help out here during the day. Do you want a cup of tea?
Well, I wouldn't say no.
Neither would I, but I'm never asked.
You don't sound too upset at the recent bereavement.
Well, going around with a long face won't bring him back, will it? Help yourself to sugar. Besides, he wasn't a particular favourite of mine. No. It's her I felt sorry for.
Why? Well, there's others.
I'm not going to stick ill of the dead. But he was a swine. Always screaming and shouting and making her cry. Oh, she's better off without him. Still, it's none of my business. I'm not paid to gossip.
So some things you do for free. Do you live in?
No fear. Wouldn't catch me in this place after dark. What if you paid me £1,000?
Why not?
Well, you'd think I was silly.
No, I wouldn't.
It's the house. There's something nasty about it.
Okay.
No. It's haunted.
Get away.
Have you seen anything? Not seen. I've heard things, though.
Like what?
Rustling, whispering, icy cold feelings. Doors opening and closing, and there's no one there.
Well, it's an old house.
would work for his restaurant, the family.
You're so clever, aren't you? They had a seance here last week with a wine glass, spelling out words, and they got messages. Explain that on rats.
What sort of message?
I don't know, I was there. It all ended in uproar by all accounts. He lost his temper and knocked the Ujjal board for six. I think the spirit gave him the message he didn't like. I told him he was going to die.
Well, if they did, he must feel sorry he died with them. How long have you worked together?
Oh, about a year.
Where did you work before that?
I worked for Mr. Bluntle.
Simon Bluntle?
Yes. He was Mr. Mansfield's business partner.
Why did you leave
him? Oh, it was his suggestion. Mrs. Mansfield couldn't manage his big house on her own, and it was handy for me. Mr. Bluntle thought of me doing her a favour.
Yes, I do. I understand he did her a lot of favours.
Especially when husband was away. Oh, we shouldn't laugh. The poor devil's dead. Still, it served him right, leaving her all alone for days on end. Crawford wasn't half a thing when he caught them at it. Here, those teeth done.
Let's have a look. No, you haven't boiled all the green, have you?
They're done. A bit mushy, but I don't suppose you feel like eating. Yeah, there was a screaming and shouting that day. He threw Mr. Bluntle out of the house, threatened to kill him if he showed his face here again.
Oh, I didn't think it was his face that was causing the trouble. Did he come back?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I've seen him hovering outside the house a few times as I've left for the day. He might have been waiting for me to go so he could nip inside.
Did you speak to him?
No. I called out to him a couple of times, but he never answered me. Oh, that because we always got on so well. He was in the shadows under those trees, and I think he'd hurt his face.
Oh?
He had his hand up covering the left side.
Did you happen to notice if he was there last night?
Last night? Oh, yes, he was there, lurking, staring up at the house. But why are you asking all these questions? Mr. Mansfield died of a heart attack, didn't he?
Of course he did, Bill. I just like a bit of salacious gossip with my cup of tea. That's all. Hope I didn't catch you waiting, Sergeant. I'm going to have a cup of tea for the day.
Oh, I guessed it was something important, sir. I got a statement from Mrs. Mansfield. You want to see it?
Me? Good Lord, no, it's your case.
Is it, sir? I'm beginning to have doubts. Especially when you wouldn't let me question Mrs. Mansfield further about Blundell.
Oh, Blundell was there last night, Sergeant. There's no doubt about that. The Daily woman saw him hanging about outside.
Then why don't we call on him and see him?
You know, if it was my case, Sergeant, that's exactly what I'd do.
He did there. The lights came on as we pulled up, but he won't answer.
Well, keep pounding, yeah? I'll try the bell. Open up, Blundell! Is it the police? Sergeant! Come here!
What is it, then?
Oh, that smell.
Take a look behind those boxes.
Meat.
Steaks. Pork. Beef. Chickens.
Whatever. I'm going to buy the meat going rotten. Decent stuff. Why should anyone want to chuck it away?
I don't know. From his condition, it's been dumped there for a couple of weeks at least. The Bundle's a fastidious man. He'd never leave that there to stink the place up.
Back door's locked.
Bundle! Over! Can you smell gas, Sergeant?
Oh, I can smell it. That stinking meat.
Did it? Because if it could smell gas, it would constitute a potential danger, and we'd be justified in breaking in to trace the source of it.
Well, now you come to mention it, sir, I do smell gas. Very strongly indeed.
Good boy. A sharp kick near the lock should do it.
He must be in there, sir.
No need to whisper. If he didn't hear you kicking down his door, he must be staying there. Empty.
Oh,
radio's playing.
What's that?
This radio's operated by a time switch. I imagine we'll find the lights are the same. It's supposed to make burglars think the house is occupied when the owner's away. It has also been known to fool policemen.
So he isn't here.
Oh, well, looks that way. Now, that's it. Ah, bedroom. What's through that door? Kitchen.
What a beauty. Must have cost thousands.
They keep telling us crime doesn't pay. Think of all the robberies they've paid for this little lot.
Yeah, like it's deep freeze. Big enough for a horse. What's the matter, sir?
All that meat outside. What's the bedding you came from that deep freeze?
Huh?
Dumped to make room for something else.
Like what?
Open it.
All right, but I wish I knew what I was supposed to. My God.
That's Splundle.
His face. Half his face is gone. I think I'm going to be sick.
Not in here. Now, get outside to the car and radio the station. We want a doctor and the full forensic team down here right away.
How are you going to hear for the body, Inspector?
Will you be long, Doctor?
Yes.
Well, then, have to wait, Constable.
Yes, sir. Not ready yet. You'll have to wait outside. There's no room in here.
Hello, Sergeant. Feeling better?
Yes, thank you, sir. Sorry about that.
Nothing to be sorry about. Does your credit that you've still got a decent bit of revulsion left in you after so long in the force?
Do we know what killed him?
Well, it wasn't a heart attack. According to the doctor, it was a shotgun fired at close quarters.
John Mansfield's shotgun?
Same sort of pellets, anyway. You'd have to see it ballistic and tied to the same gun.
All right, Inspector. They can clear the body away now. I finished.
Ambulance men can have him, Constable.
Sir.
Shotgun at close quarters then, Doctor?
Yeah, all of
them. Time of death?
I've been waiting for some bright spark to ask me that. How the hell do I know? He's been kept in a deep freeze. We'll have to do some tests. When was he last been alive?
Early this morning, about 3 o'clock.
That's impossible.
It's not impossible, Doctor. We've got a witness.
Then your witness is lying. I can't pinpoint the time of death exactly, but I can tell you this. He's been dead at least a week. Probably much longer.
Why should I lie, Inspector? I saw him. Sitting at the desk, I saw him.
You couldn't have seen him.
I was talking to the inspector.
We're in a bit of a difficulty, Lippy.
Are you sure it was this morning?
Of course I'm sure.
You thought if you spun this yarn, it'd get your sentence reduced, didn't you? And you also wanted to get your own back on Blundell, so you lied. You never saw him.
All right, so I lied. Forget it. I know where I saw Sonny. If you don't want to believe me, that's up to you. Let him get away with it. I don't care.
What was Blundell wearing?
I only saw him for a second through a slit in the curtain.
Now, can you be so sure?
It was him. I staked my life on it.
I remember now.
He was wearing a grey suit and a red tie.
Lippy, Simon Blundell is dead.
Dead? When?
According to the pathologist, he's been dead nearly 2 weeks.
Come off it. Can't you hear that?
I've seen the body, Lippy.
Honestly?
Yeah.
It's impossible. It wasn't him, it was a ghost.
Thank you.
Come on, Libby.
It was him, Inspector. I swear it. We'll stack a Bible, I swear it.
Oh, so what do you reckon?
That's your case, Belgium. What do you reckon?
He's lying.
What?
I don't know. But there's no other explanation. Blundell's been dead for 2 weeks. I reckon the Mansfield shot him for messing around with his wife and then dumped the body in the deep freeze, in which case Libby is lying when he says he saw Blundell with Mansfield last night.
If Libby is lying, then so is Mrs. Mansfield's daily.
Inspector Bauer's office.
Who?
Oh, just one moment, please. Central fingerprints, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Bauer? Yes, that's right. What? Are you sure? Look, do me a favor, double check. Yeah, and then let me have it in writing. That's it. Do you believe in life after death, Sonny?
Huh?
Those prints on Mansfield's desk, they were Blundell.
Blundell?
He'd been dead for 2 weeks and he leaves his fingerprints.
It doesn't make sense.
Nothing about this case makes sense, unless you're prepared to believe in ghosts. I'm going to get myself a strong drink, and I'm damn glad this isn't my case. Yes?
Can I come in, sir?
Yeah, of course.
so.
Ah, you'd better sit down. You look all new.
Well, I've seen Liffey Gordon again. I've questioned Mrs. Mansfield and her daily woman. I've asked fingerprints to recheck, and I've even had the temerity to suggest to the pathologist that he might have made a couple of weeks' mistake in estimating the time of Blundell's death.
I bet that went down well.
Yeah, he tore me to pieces. Can I speak to you off the record, sir?
Sure.
If I present the evidence as it stands, we'll be the laughing stock of the county.
Not only the county, the press, everyone.
Look, sir, there are two hard facts. One, Mansfield died of a heart attack, natural causes, and two, Blundell was shot 2 weeks ago, almost certainly by Mansfield. Right?
Right.
Can't we just stick to the two hard facts and ignore the supernatural element?
Suppress evidence, you mean?
Would it do us any good if we told the truth?
And just what evidence would you suppress?
Well, very little, actually, sir. We'd simply have to lose the report on the fingerprint identification and get Liffey Gordon to omit part of his statement. We'd then present the coroner with the rest of the evidence, which will enable him to find that Mansfield shot Blundell and 2 weeks later died of a heart attack.
I've never suppressed evidence in my life. Show me Liffey's statement. I haven't seen that yet.
Yes, sir. That's the bit I'd ask him to leave out there, sir.
Yes, yeah. Well, then. Where's the statement you took from Mrs. Mansfield?
Here.
Have you prepared it?
Why, have I missed something?
Yeah. Grab your coat closet. We're about to lay a ghost.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
No, it's we who should apologize for continually troubling you like this, Mrs. Mansfield. But there's a couple of niggly little things that don't tie up. Have you got Mrs. Mansfield's statement, Sergeant? What was that bit we were querying?
Yes, sir. My husband took his shotgun and went into the study. I heard him gasp, then a gunshot. I rushed in. He was on the floor, dead. His pajama jacket sodden with blood. I immediately telephoned the police.
Ah, yes. Now, what time would that have been, Mrs. Mansfield?
I don't know. I was mostly upset to live at Clark.
Yes, of course. But we log all calls at the station. What time was Mrs. Mansfield's message received, sir?
3:53 a.m., sir.
3:53. You wouldn't dispute that, Mrs. Mansfield.
That's the time you got. That's the time I must have phoned.
Isn't it always the way? You tie up one loose end and you get another one. Your statement doesn't now fit in with the statement of a Mr. Liffey Gordon, who actually saw your husband collapse and die. Now, according to him, it happened at precisely 3:10. A good 40 minutes before you phoned the police.
You must have made a mistake about the time.
I use an expensive quartz crystal watch accurate to within a second a month. You could easily get to Simon Blundell's place and back in 40 minutes, Mrs. Mansfield.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Your husband found out that your affair with Blundell was still on, so he called on him with a shotgun. He killed him and dumped the body in the deep freeze, intending to return later to dispose. He didn't know you had your own key to the bungalow and that you'd be around there hot foot to find out why your lover hadn't been around. And when you saw what your husband had done, you swore revenge. He had a dodgy heart. A severe shock could kill him. So you set him up with stories of ghosts and weird noises and dreams of men with half a face. And then yesterday, you judged him ready for the crunch. As soon as he was asleep, you collect the body from the deep freeze, you prop it up behind the desk in the study, and then step back dutifully into bed. All you have to do then is to wake him up and get him to investigate a strange noise. Can you imagine what he did to him when he walked into that study and came face to face with the mutilated body of a man who'd been dead for 2 weeks?
This is ghastly. I don't want to hear any more.
Not more to hear. Your body having served its purpose, you return it to the bungalow, then straight back here to phone the police. Your poor husband, natural causes, heart failure. How could anyone blame you?
This is preposterous.
You could never have managed it on your own. Of course, you had help. Someone else was in the house last night. Come in.
Tia.
Ah, Lily. Come in. We were just talking about you.
That's nice. But the suggestion is, Lily, that you and I conspired to frighten my husband to death. What a lovely idea. Wish I'd thought of it. Do you all take sugar?
Thanks. Have you anything to say, Mrs. Mansfield?
Why should I say anything? You haven't a shred of evidence.
The missing 40 minutes.
When I saw my husband's body, the blood, I passed out. I didn't mention it before because I thought I was only out for a few seconds. But it's now obvious that I was unconscious for over 40 minutes.
That's not bad, Mrs. Mansfield, but you won't find it so easy to explain away the fingerprints. Ghosts don't leave fingerprints, but dead men do. And when you and Lily propped Blundell up against the desk, he left a beautiful scent.
I've been rather negligent in my excuses, I'm afraid, Mrs. Mansfield. I haven't polished that desk since Mr. Blundell was last here. I expect his prints have been there all this time.
Ah, well, try, Lily. But we've got our path led to have a close look at Blundell's fingers. They're coated in furniture polish. Fresh furniture polish, which I'm sure we can match up to the polish on the desk. That was a clever plan, but you didn't bother. According to the post-mortem report, his heart was in such a state he barely had another month to live anyway.
I know. The doctor told me. You knew. You knew he was dying, but you still went ahead.
I wanted him to suffer. He deserved to suffer.
Well, at least you had hatred and revenge to spur you on, Mrs. Mansfield. But you, Lily, you had none of this. What did you do it for?
For £5,000 cash. And it's hidden away where you'll never find it.
You'd better pray the government can do something to bring inflation down, Lily. Otherwise, it's hardly going to be worth digging up again when we finally let you out. All right, Sergeant, charge him. It's your case.
Postmortem Song by R.G. Wingfield, in which you heard Jill Bennett as Gwen Mansfield and Richard Caldecott as Detective Inspector Bowers. John Mansfield was played by Roy Spencer, Police Sergeant by Peter Wickham, P.C. Drew by Robert French, Mr. Meekin by Henry Knowles, P.C. Clark by David Cann, Detective Sergeant Fox by Brian Hewlett, The Doctor by Paul Mills, Lippy Gordon by Leslie Glazer, and Lily Preston by Joan Matheson. The play was directed by Christopher Venning.